He's good, and he's gentle, and he knows what needs to be done. He's not a God that likes to bring pain or hardship. If there's any shaping, molding, it's for our good, that we would be more like Jesus. Matthew chapter 6. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, first book of the New Testament, as we continue talking on this series of Clean Slate. We talked for several weeks about receiving God's forgiveness, of the reality that he's not mad at us, so we can run to him and not away from him when there's areas of our lives that need to be forgiven. And the reality that when he forgives us, he totally forgives us. It's a complete forgiveness. But oftentimes, in order to experience and have that forgiveness released in our lives in such a way where we experience the forgiveness of God, that we have to step out of the darkness and into the light in not just confession to God, but confession with another person. And that oftentimes that is the hindrance that keeps us from experiencing the release of forgiveness, is our confession one with another. And so continuing to ask that the Lord would give us courage and grace and provision of a person or people who would be, who we'd feel comfortable and we would trust and be able to be willing to take a risk with to confess if there are areas of confession that are needed. Last week we moved from forgiveness being received to then being people who forgive. And out of the great mercy and grace and forgiveness that we have received, Jesus' parable that we looked at last week of the unmerciful servant was, if we've received great forgiveness, which we have, then we give great forgiveness to those who sin against us. And today we want to continue down this road of looking at forgiving others and talk about the asterisk. When I was thinking about this, on a day like today, it's good to have a good rain jacket, right? But I don't have a really good rain jacket. I have kind of a lightweight jacket that's great at receiving all the moisture into it, and it seeps in, and it just kind of slows it down. It's not a good protector of rain from the from my body, from the elements. And so I've been on the lookout for a new rain jacket, and I am not one that likes to pay full price. I actually kind of refuse it, so I'm a clearance shopper, coupon man. I love that kind of stuff. And so there is a specific brand that I've been looking for, has a good reputation in rain jackets, and there's a local department store that carries it, and so I've been on the lookout trying to find, okay, is there a clearance? And then you get those coupons, right? And this one local department store has coupons, and they'll be 15, 20, 30, sometimes 40% off. And I'm like, if I can just pair a good sale and this coupon of up to 40% off, boy, I'll be getting the smoking deal on this good rain jacket. That's how I think. The only problem is that many times as I get these coupons, and I'm like, ooh, it's like 30%. I'm ready to go. I'm going to look. I fall down because there's, you know, that little asterisk next to 30, 40, 15, 20, whatever it is, that says go down to the bottom, and where it says some exclusions may apply. You know where I'm going with this, right? Because I go down to the bottom, and guess what's listed in the some exclusions may apply? This coupon does not apply to, and there's the brand of the jacket that I'm hoping to get. So this coupon is useless to me if I really want to get a smoking deal on this jacket. You know, we've all been down that road where you get frustrated because of the asterisk. Some exclusions may apply. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching on prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and I want to read it to us and then begin to talk through the asterisk. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, after his disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. How do you pray? He says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, or some translations will say trespasses, as we also have forgiven our debtors, or those who have trespassed against us. Basically, it's an issue of sin. Sinning against God and also the sin that others have committed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some translations will then have, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then verse 14 says this. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So here's Jesus teaching about prayer. And I can just imagine, I don't know if asterisks were something that were going on today in Jesus' day when he was writing and Matthew was recording this, he probably would have had a little asterisk next to and at the end of verse 12. There's nothing in the whole prayer and the whole teaching on prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Nothing. Give us today our daily bread. Nothing. Lead us not into temptation. Nothing. Deliver us from evil. There's nothing. But it's like at the end of verse 12, there would be this asterisk, and you'd follow it down to the bottom, and at the end of it, you'd say, well, wait a second, some exclusions apply. If you want to fill in on your sermon notes, realize at the beginning here that exclusions do apply to forgiveness. Just like that coupon from the department store, some exclusions do apply, and specifically when it comes to God's forgiveness of us, exclusions do apply, namely, that according to verses 14 and 15, if we do not forgive others when they sin against us, God will not forgive us when we sin against Him. Some exclusions apply. Why? It goes back to last week that because of the extreme mercy, the extreme grace, the extreme lavish forgiveness that we have received from a holy God through the work of His perfect Son Jesus on the cross, because of that extreme mercy and forgiveness, it is now the duty and the expected response of a Christ follower. See, we don't get to say, well, I don't really want to forgive. Or, I'm really mad at them, so I'm not going to forgive them. Or, they really, 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 and you could probably go reallys forever. They really hurt me bad. They really wronged me. How could I ever forgive them for that? Or when we know that the other person who has sinned against us and who has wronged us terribly, we know they don't care one bit. Why should I forgive them? They don't even care that they hurt me. In fact, there may be some instances and situations where they are actually glad and happy, and if they could do it all over again, they would do it again and maybe even worse. And we say, God, why should I forgive them? I don't want to forgive them. They don't want to be forgiven. They've never acknowledged it. They've never asked for it. Why do I need to forgive them? It's because, as a follower of Jesus, who has experienced the extreme forgiveness of God, it's not an option on our part and not a choice for us to decide whether we will or will not forgive. It is a duty and a responsibility of a follower of Christ to forgive. For it is out of the mercy that we have forgiven that we forgive. And it is for our good and for our well-being that God calls us to forgive. Friends, the asterisk would not be there and is not there because God wants to withhold forgiveness. But he says if we understand forgiveness, we will forgive. And so let us be people today who we can say, if we're in a place of saying, I'm choosing not to forgive, that today we would make the choice to say, Lord Jesus, today I don't want that asterisk to apply to me anymore. I want to deal with the issue of forgiveness. For as you forgive me, so I will forgive others. And if I don't forgive others, so you will not forgive me. Three thoughts this morning, three actions that I would like for us to look at to lead us to forgive when we really don't want to. Three actions to forgive when we really don't want to, so that that asterisk does not apply to our lives. The first is this: choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. In this passage, Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness, and this is where we have to start, forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Because I guarantee you, when we have been hurt and hurt badly, there is not one person on the face of this earth who will feel like, I want to forgive. When we're hurt, we don't want to forgive. We want that person to get what they deserve, right? Remember, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to say, yeah, I hope they get the screws put to them. I hope they pay, and I hope they pay a lot for what they did against me. That is the human response. But the teaching of Jesus is this. If we are waiting to feel like I'm ready to forgive, well, we may never get there. It is a choice that we say in obedience to the commands of Jesus, I choose to forgive. You know, when we are wronged, when we are sinned against, there is only one thing that we can control. And that is what we do, how we respond. See, forgiveness is about our choosing to release that person's debt, entrusting it that the God who is just will do what is right and just. It is choosing to release them of their wrong against me so that they are entrusted to the Lord. That is the only thing that I have control over. That is the only thing that you have control over, is the choice of will I forgive or will I not? Because forgiveness is a unilateral decision. It depends on one person, you. Reconciliation is a totally separate and different thing. Reconciliation says two people have to acknowledge that what was done was wrong. One person the person who has offended has to acknowledge it, and they have to ask for forgiveness. The person who was wronged must accept that forgiveness and offer it back, in order for reconciliation to take place. And still, even when two parties are reconciled, it may take a long, long, long time for trust to be rebuilt. See, forgiveness is not saying, I forgive you and now let's just get on like nothing ever happened. Forgiveness is saying, I release you and I no longer hold it against you. But your relationship still may not be the way it was before. And sometimes with forgiveness, you may forgive a person and that relationship will never, on this side of eternity, ever be the same again. Because what they have done has so broken the trust that was there in the relationship that it may never go back to, hey, come on in, no boundaries, everything's fine. Forgiveness is our choice. Reconciliation takes two. I think sometimes the reason that we struggle so much with forgiveness is because we view it as if we forgive, then we have to just go on and just welcome things back on completely as if nothing ever happened. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is me releasing my right to hold it against you. It is forgiving as I've been forgiven. And as we journey down the road, it takes two to reconcile. Our choice as a follower of Jesus is to forgive. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you want to or not, we choose to forgive the person who's hurt us. You know, it's been said that forgiveness is choosing to let the prisoner go free. And oftentimes what you find is the prisoner is you. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is choosing to let the prisoner go free. And oftentimes what you find is the prisoner is you. Because what we often do is we try to punish the other person by withholding forgiveness, somehow thinking that I am gaining the upper hand on what they've done against me. Meanwhile, all I'm doing is I'm binding myself up. Choose to forgive so that asterisk no longer applies and will not apply to us. First action, choose. Choose to forgive. Second, we've been talking about it, but it just comes back to this. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Forgive as you have been forgiven. If you would work your way back in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and you run into a couple small books, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Forgive as you have been forgiven. The Apostle Paul, as he's talking about how does it look to live as children of light, just as our God is light, how do we walk in the light with one another? He lays out many, many actions, many realities that must take place in our lives. But verse 32, he says this of chapter 4 of Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be compassionate, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Paul tells the Ephesians to forgive one another as God, in the person of Jesus Christ, has forgiven them. And so it begs us to ask the question, how has God forgiven us? How has God forgiven us? A few weeks ago, as we were reviewing at the beginning of the message, we talked about the reality that when God forgives, He forgives totally, in that He separates our sin from us completely. It's a work of God. But He sets a pattern for us to follow. We looked at this scripture a few weeks ago, and it's Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, which I believe sets the pattern of how God has forgiven us in Christ and how we then would forgive others. God says this, I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And then what is the phrase that He gives? And what? remembers your sins no more. So last time when we looked at this passage, we kind of wrestled through a little bit that idea of God remembering our sins no more. Because the phrase that we often hear is God forgets our sin. And we talked through the reality that God cannot forget, because God is all-knowing. And the minute that God forgets something, He ceases to be all-knowing. Do you agree? You cannot be all-knowing if you have forgotten something. There is a big difference, and oftentimes it has been taught that God forgets our sin. But the reality is God remembers it no more, which is a choice, which means it is there. It could be remembered. It could be thought upon. But He makes a choice not to think about it and bring it up again. When we forgive as God has forgiven us, we choose in forgiveness not to bring it back up, not to dwell on it, not to throw it in somebody's face again. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, you hear it at weddings all the time. You know, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast. There's a phrase in there. Love keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, when I forgive, I'm going to choose not to go back and rehearse it and bring it back up. I had a friend that, in the midst of life, you know how you act sometimes and you make a decision and it's not wrong, it's not sin, you just didn't think it through all the way. It wasn't the wisest decision. And sometimes those decisions that aren't the wisest, or you didn't think it through and all of the consequences that were there, can sometimes end up hurting a person. Have you been there? Either it was an unintentional wrong, you weren't like trying to hurt them, and you may not even say, you know what, I sinned against them. It was just not very smart. And it caused hurt in the person's life. Well, I did that. In the midst of a relationship, I did that. I hadn't thought through everything. I took an action, and hurt came. When I found out about it, person brought it to my attention, so we talked about it. And I said, you know what, I did not mean to hurt you, but I can see exactly how that would have hurt, and I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? And my friend's response to me was, I forgive you, but I won't forget. You know what? Our relationship has never been the same since. See, in one moment he says, I forgive you. But in the next instance he says this, but you need to understand, I will never forget what you did. See, every time he saw me, what he chose to think of was what I did. That will leave us in a place of bondage, and there will never be reconciliation in a relationship, even if that other person comes to you and says, I am so sorry, will you forgive me? And you say, I forgive you. But if we choose not, if we don't choose to remember no more, we may say we've forgiven, but we're stuck in that place of there will never be reconciliation. Forgiveness, when we forgive, we are to forgive as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, which means I release you of the debt and I choose not to bring it back up. Humanly speaking, we could never forget. the pain and the hurt of situations is deep. We have memories. The question is, do we dwell on those memories? Or do we, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, do we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ? See, you and I have the option that when we forgive somebody and we see them again, and all the pain comes back and the memory comes back, we have the option in that moment to say, oh yeah, and rehearse it and think about it. I would be bold enough to say we've all done that, right? When that person comes, we think about it. Or when we're just sitting and it's quiet and that person comes to mind and we think about, oh man, what they did. Meh. We've said, I forgive you, but then the thought comes and the memory comes and we rehearse it. You know what we're doing in that moment? We are feeding it. And what you feed lives. And what you feed gets stronger. But if in that moment we can identify the memory and we can say, Lord, I have forgiven this person. The memory's there, but Jesus, I give it to you. We take it captive and we say, Jesus, would you take it? I can tell you from experience that this may be a daily, sometimes it may be, depending on the depth of the pain, it may be hourly that thought comes back. But remembering no more is about a battle of saying, Lord Jesus, as it comes, I'm going to choose not to remember this. I'm going to take it captive and give it to you, Jesus. As it comes, I'm going to take it captive and give it to you, Jesus. As it comes, I'm going to take it captive and give it to you, Jesus. And what you will find is the more you take it captive and the less you entertain it, the less it will come and the less power it will have until forgiveness and memory begin to come closer together. Choose to remember no more. Before we go to the last action, let me just say, and we're going to talk about this some next week and finding healing from some of this, but sometimes if the hurt is really, really deep, through no fault of our own that's been done against us, what can happen is the enemy, Satan, who doesn't play fair, can seize on that pain and take something that is already extremely painful and powerful in our lives because of the depth of hurt, and he can empower it more. And so we may try to take it captive, and we may try to take it captive, but we're just saying, Lord, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to forgive, and I've chosen to forgive, and I'm supposed to not remember no more, but I just can't stop remembering this thing. If that is the reality, I just want you to know today that Jesus has the power to set you free of that memory. It's part of that allowing the Spirit of God to do his work. Sometimes if that memory is so heavy, so powerful over us, we may need to, this is where we may have to come out of the darkness and into the light, because the darkness is where Satan has his power, where the enemy has his power. And so sometimes to break the power and to find victory over the memory, we may have to bring it to someone else to share it and to allow that person to walk with us into the presence of Jesus so that he can break the power of it. And I just say that because I believe that we live in a church culture sometimes that says Jesus is powerful and he can do anything in a moment, and he can, but oftentimes we don't know how to release the power of Jesus because we're bound up by the hurts of our past. And so rather than thinking that everybody else knows how to release the power of Jesus and they're just over it, recognize that probably most of us, if not a lot of us, are living bound up by the power of those things that are from our past. And you may think everybody else has figured out how to walk in freedom, but I think a lot more of us need to just realize that we're not alone if we're still struggling to overcome and to work through the past. And that's okay. It goes back to, it's okay not to be okay. And so if that's where you're at, there are many people, and I would be one who would just be willing just to say, let's go to the presence of Jesus together if you want to come talk. Lastly, forgive as you've been forgiven. Last action step, bless your enemies. It's like these get harder and harder as we go, right? So let's just be honest. Let's be honest. It gets harder and harder as you go. But in many ways, what we're doing is we're going deeper and deeper to the root to pull the root out. Which is why it gets harder and harder. Starts with a choice, then an action. Take thoughts captive, remember no more, now bless. Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 6. This is Jesus basically teaching in another place what he taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, he says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Now, I want you to know, this sounds like ridiculous, terrible advice, right? I want you to understand that as much as this sounds like, this really seems radical and out of touch with how you like deal with bad people, I want you to know that in our culture, it sounds out of touch. In first century Jewish culture, this sounded really out of touch. Because in first century Jewish culture, you know, the whole eye for an eye thing? Basically, whatever somebody does to you, you just do it back. And the reason that that was there was because retaliation was so much just a value of the culture that what God was saying in the Old Testament when he said an eye for an eye was just saying this: don't go in your action back, don't go beyond what they did. If they punched you, all you're allowed to do is one punch back. You're not allowed to go boom and give them, you're not allowed to give them a jab and then give them a hook. If they give you a jab, you just give them a jab and you're even. Now what Jesus is saying is, listen, I have come. And you've heard what it was said, an eye for an eye, equal retaliation. I'm saying this. Instead of giving back what was given to you, you do the very opposite. You love them. You pray for them. You bless them. You do good to them. It gets harder, right? Harder and harder and harder. Because what we want to do is when somebody hurts us, at the very least, we want to withhold forgiveness. We want to punish them by withholding mercy. You did that to me, well, I'll show you. What Jesus is saying is the best way to deal with unforgiveness and forgiveness of others when you don't want to is to begin to pray and bless them. How do you pray and bless somebody? You begin to pray the very same things you pray for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones. At first, it may be a simple act of obedience. Lord, I pray that you would bless Jim. I don't just throw a name out there. I don't really want you to, but bless him. And Sam, I don't really want you to bless him, but I know I'm supposed to. So do something good for him, would you? I'm telling you, that's probably where you'll start. And if you can start there and at least pray and say, Lord, I really don't want to, but I know this is what you say, so I'm going to do it anyway. Even if your heart's not fully in it, go for it. And then the next day, pray for Jim and Sam. And the next day, pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. You know what you'll find? You'll find that one day, the things you've been praying for them, you actually really want to see it happen. And one day, you may find that you actually love them. Because you cannot pray blessing over someone and not have God change your heart towards them. And not begin to get his perspective and his love for them. See, God doesn't tell us to bless our enemies and to do good to those who hurt us and our enemies and all that kind of stuff because he just wants to make us miserable. Jesus tells us to do this because he knows the way for freedom to come in our relationships and at least in our standing with others. Because if I'm walking around all the time like all mad and angry and like holding this against you and them and all that kind of stuff because I got all this like pain, I'm miserable. It's also been said of forgiveness that withholding it is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Just think about that for a moment. We think, I'll never forgive them. I'm never gonna release them of that. Yeah, I'll show them. Meanwhile, we're dying inside, and you're expecting that they're somehow gonna be like, oh, stop it. You're hurting me. I mean, in reality, that's what we do when we withhold it. We're thinking, if I can just withhold this and keep them at distance, they're gonna be like, oh man, my life is so miserable, they're not letting me back in. Most times when people really hurt you, they don't want back in. So the only person you're hurting is yourself. Meanwhile, there's this wall that's just being built up, not just between you and others, but between you and God. Because of this asterisk that's there. Listen, I stand here not as one who says, I got it all figured out and I know it and it's easy. You just choose to forgive and you take every thought captive and remember no more and you bless everybody that hurt you. No big deal. Come on. It's not easy. And I don't walk through it perfectly. But let me encourage you because I love you and even more because Jesus loves you. This is the way to freedom. Choose to forgive. Forgive as you've been forgiven and just choose to wrestle and not remember, not choose to dwell on it. And then begin to pray blessing and good for them. Watch your heart be changed. And you may even see them be changed too. story is told of Corrie ten Boom, a Jewish survivor of the Holocaust after World War II. During World War II, Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were arrested for concealing Jews, trying to protect them from the Nazis, and were sent to a German concentration camp. While they were there, Corrie ten Boom's sister Betsy died a slow and terrible death as a result of the cruel treatment that she received. After the war was over, Corrie was liberated from the concentration camps, and in 1947 she spoke about God's forgiveness to a church in Munich. And afterward, a man sought her out, and immediately she recognized him as one of the guards who had mistreated both her and her sister Betsy. This guard said, "I have become a Christian since those days." And with extended hand, he asked her for forgiveness. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing one of the guards who mistreated you so poorly that your sister had died? Literally, this guy would have had her sister's blood on his hands. And yet he had become a Christian, and he came up to her and said, "Please forgive me." She struggled with her feelings, she wrote. But as she struggled with her feelings in those moments, she recalled the words of Matthew 6:15, knowing that if you do not forgive, I will not forgive you. And she knew that she had to forgive. And silently she prayed, "Jesus, help me." And in that moment, thrust her hand into the hand of her former tormentor. It's been said, forgiveness is not a case of quote-unquote holy amnesia that wipes out the past. Instead, it's the experience of healing that drains the poison from the wound. Forgiveness is a gift. It is a gift from God to us. And it is a gift from God to us to release those who have sinned against us. The pain is heavy and real. And it does not diminish anything to forgive. But the way of healing comes through the pathway of forgiveness. And Jesus has come to set us free. I just ask the worship team to come to prepare to lead us. And the way we're just going to close today is just to spend some time in the presence of Jesus as we would sing. I'll dismiss you after we sing, but if you want to just have somebody to pray with or talk to, I would encourage you just to stick around and we can do that. I would ask any elders who would be willing to do that, any ladies as well, to be able to just comfort ladies, pray with. Let's come to the presence of Jesus together. Father, I thank you for your great love. I thank you for the forgiveness that you have given to us through Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have wiped away our sin and our pain. Lord, even as you give us the gift of forgiveness towards others, Lord Jesus, I pray for your grace and your strength to walk through releasing that forgiveness into the life of other people. Father, that you would give us the grace to choose to forgive and to release them. that you would give us the power by your Spirit to remember no more. And that you would give us the courage and the willingness to bless and to pray for those who have hurt us so deeply. Father, I pray for those who, in the midst of talking about forgiveness, Lord, even feel the pain now of what has been done. Holy Spirit of God, would you come near? Would you comfort? Would you hold? Would you do healing work? By the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would bind any power of the enemy that would seek to bring up pain, that would seek to try to afflict through the hurts that have been done to us. By the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bind you now, so that the presence of Jesus would minister and heal unhindered. Father, your love heals. And so may your love come and literally break loose pain. May your love so cover that hurts and wounds would begin to be sutured, would begin to be healed and restored. Father, be free to move in our hearts, in our soul. Lord, may great freedom come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand in closing.
Spirit is like water.
Jesus is good. He leads us to life. He leads us to healing. He leads us to places of being restored. And by His Spirit, He is so good at walking us through the journey of forgiveness. I want to just greet you from here and just say, may the Lord bless you as you go. But if you want to come be here just to talk with, pray with, if there's an area of forgiveness that you want to talk through, or just if there's some other need, or you'd say, you know what, today's, I'm not so good today, and I just want to welcome the presence of Jesus. Anything is available, for Jesus is our helper. And so may the Lord bless you, and may you encounter His freedom more and more as you receive His forgiveness. And as you forgive others, may the Lord bless you with great freedom and great peace in His presence. Go in His joy.